Chair's committee to order. President, Senator Frank, Senator Strzelczewski, and Senator Pierce. Today's meeting is to discuss House Bill 152. And we are on teleconference. There are people on the network that would like to testify. What I'd like to do, first of all, is go over... I'd like to turn it over to my staff, Rick Soli, to go over changes that have been incorporated in a work draft dated 5/5/92, and then he will also discuss additional changes that will be incorporated, that are being incorporated in another work draft. Our intent would be to work on this, incorporate these amendments, and have the bill hopefully before the committee tomorrow morning, before we go across and pass the bill out, before we reach the floor session tomorrow. So go ahead, Rick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Rick Soli, staff to the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. Before I start, I should note that the outlying areas, Anchorage, Fairbanks, and wherever else we are hooked up via teleconference, do not have the work draft that is before us. We apologize for that, but are unable to fax an 80-page bill, particularly when it's still in transition. So I'll try and summarize the general nature of the changes that we're making and proposing so that the listening audience can comment on them. And for those of you that may have a copy of the bill, it's dated 5/5/92 and it's version Q of House Bill 152. The following are the major changes that we've made to the Senate State Affairs version of House Bill 152 and the proposed committee substitute. First thing that we've done and reflected the committee's concern was to include Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, as it will become the new entity, all of their activities under the Executive Budget Act. For those of you that are following along, you can find that section of the bill. It's on page 41, and it's revising 1856-089A. And there we put, in addition to the operating budget of the corporation, we list all the activities that would come under the corporation. An additional amendment that we're proposing that we have not yet gotten back from our drafters, they are working on that amendment, I assume, as well as other amendments for other committees. The other amendment would put Alaska State Housing Authority, ASHA, under the Executive Budget Act, but for 2 years they would be exempt and that sunset provision would go away in 2 years. So the effect would be Alaska, ASHA would enjoy an exemption from the Executive Budget Act for 2 years, in which time they would come to the legislature, make a report as to the reasons that they need to be exempt, primarily that they receive federal funds, and the legislature can then make a determination. Senator Frank, and the committee's concern is that we don't make a hasty judgment, because this is a large program that affects a lot of people, and we don't want to affect it in an improper fashion, but we are concerned that it's included to the extent possible in the Executive Budget Act. So that's the second major change to the Executive Budget Act. The second on your memo that I have to the committee, is we've altered the composition of the board, reduced them from 9 members to 7, and this is not reflected in your committee substitute. If you would look on page 59, thank you. Page 39 of the committee substitute. The board that we have there is not the one that we're proposing. We have an amendment coming from legal. The board, as the committee substitute would propose, would have a revenue commissioner, community regional affairs commissioner, and a health and social service commissioner, in addition would combine a rural resident and a representative of the regional housing authorities together with one seat would combine the financial community seat and the licensed real estate broker seat into one, and then would have two public members. So we'd have a 7-member board. The changes from the state affairs version are that we've added a commissioner and we've combined the rural and the regional housing authority seat. And in addition, we removed this special housing needs low income seat.
To be represented basically by the community or the Health and Social Services commissioner.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the intent there was to have the commissioner of Health and Social Services, who has the authority over the low-income programs, the AFDC, the public assistance, Medicaid and such, they, we feel, have the real pulse of that population and can represent them on the board, and will also retain some executive membership on the board as well. This more mirrors, by the way, the three commissioners, the current Alaska Housing Finance Board. Moving on to the less significant changes, I guess, in substance, but still important. We rolled in House Bill 431, which is in Senate Rules Committee now, and that bill would amend the definition of rural and nonconforming and change it to small communities. In addition, would alter the population cap to 1,400 people where you're not connected by a road. And so we rolled that in. The intent was to try and be consistent with all of our housing programs and the definitions. That is contained within your committee substitute. That's not an amendment. It's within the draft that you have. And that is found at the towards the end of the bill, those sections. Starting on page, I believe it's page 69, I think it is.
Here's where it starts in the HFC language, where it's inserted.
I'm sorry.
And then the other thing is that they put that language in.
The bulk of the changes are towards the end of the bill, and it's page 69, but there are some earlier that incorporate the small community definition. We also incorporated some amendments that were suggested the other day. One was to require an annual report as opposed to a biannual report to the legislature. And that applies to both the ASHA activities and to the Alaska Housing Finance activities. The ASHA portion is contained on page 45, section 91, where they would report their activities, and then the Alaska Housing Finance annual report is on page 56, on about line 26. In addition, we expanded, going back to changes that were made to the board. The concern was that the board was getting large and we wanted to retain its ability to function and yet still allow for input from all of the interests that are affected by this merged authority or merged corporation. And so we expanded the Alaska Housing Commission in both its membership scope and the time that we allow it to exist. Expanded it to 15 members, and that is found in your proposed committee substitute that you have before you. It's towards the end of the bill on page 79. The expanded membership is after the first four members were already there, the governor, the Commerce and Economic Development, the Commissioner of Community and Regional Affairs, and the Alaska Housing Finance designee. The rest are the additional, with the exception of on line 25, the HUD representative was already on there as well. So we increased that. We extended it until 1993. The sunset for that is at the end of the bill on page 81. It sunsets on July 1, 1993. And then we expanded their purpose to include recommendations to the board for changes it believes that are necessary to improve housing programs and services for people in the state. that expanded mission is on page 80 at the very top on line 1. It's we incorporated some other minor amendments, one to the purpose section in the front of the bill. In fact, this, if you're out there in the teleconference, this was in all the versions of the bill. And we would modify at the end of the first page and delete on number 3, line 12, the 33% of the state are low income. Just say that low income needs are critical have not been met with existing housing resources. And then on the same page, number 4, line 14, deleted ensure the opportunity to for all Alaskans to live in a safe, sanitary and efficient environment, and instead put in promote and improve the opportunity. We included some amendments that were suggested in a letter from Canada Chiefs to add some language on page 2, the weatherization on line 9, under number 6. On page 36, we added the word comfort on page line 17, where we would look at comfort as something that's considered in housing. In addition, we, I hope I highlighted this change, we did make a change to also look at the ability of a house to stay warm as a valid concern when looking at housing. And I'm sorry, at the moment I don't have that specific site at hand. I do apologize. I can find it for the committee. We also made an amendment to validate the loans that HAD has actually made now, the Housing Assistance Division, but they did not fit into the definition of rural at the time. And you can find that, make that. Let me see. Oh, that's section 114 on page 80 at line 30. It's a validation of certain loans of the Department of Community and Regional Affairs. And another change that I don't believe is on my amendment, we incorporated on line on page 6, line 24, section 7. Actually, this was something that was in existing law, but we wanted to put it in the bill so it was clearly obvious that a public corporation such as ASHA could not build a building without legislative approval, and we included that in the bill. Another significant amendment that we have made, and it's before you, it's actually not in the committee substitute. There was a concern brought to the committee that the balance in the housing assistance loan fund would not lapse into the housing assistance fund in the Alaska Housing Corporation. So we have an amendment from legal that would ensure that that occurs so that they can continue their program. I would mention there's somewhat of an unresolved issue on the principal and interest from the housing loan fund that, as I understand it, has been outside of legislative appropriation in the past. Our proposal would be to put it under the Executive Budget Act, which would have the legislature appropriate that. There may be some language we need to adopt to ensure that that, in fact, is the case. But that's the second part of that amendment that is not here yet. We do anticipate legal drafting something. I think, Mr. Chairman, there may be some areas that I've missed. I apologize. I've been so much scattered in my comments, but I'd be willing to answer questions, or it might be helpful if other people that want to testify or bring to light specific aspects of the bill.
Okay, thank you very much. Why don't you remain at the table, and we'll go out to the teleconference network, and then we'll come back to Juneau and invite anybody else that's here in Juneau to come to the table and ask questions or make clarifications. So let's go to the teleconference network. We'll go first to Fairbanks. We've got Todd Honer. Are you there?
Yeah, I am, Mr. Chairman. My name is Todd Honer. I'm with the Chiefs Council.
Okay, Todd, go ahead.
Yeah, at this time, if I could, I would just like to listen to some of the other comments that are coming in. I'm sitting here sort of just absorbing some of the changes that Rick made or mentioned. I don't have anything that I can add right now. I just want to, with your indulgence, just sit here and listen, and if I have some time later on, and if there's time for the committee, I'll come back.
Okay, thank you. How about William Williams?
My name is William C. Williams. I'm the Executive Director of Interior Regional Housing Authority. And general concept, we're opposed to the bill because it seems to be taking a major state function for the unorganized borough and putting it into an entity outside of the state government itself. I'm glad to see you putting the Executive Budget Act into more of the functions of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. But before you get into this too far, you might have jeopardized some of the government funds from HUD. They were quite concerned with this issue when it came up the first time, and you might want to check with Susan Olson if she's online with HUD's concerns of ASHA's programs being under the Executive Budget Act. And also, you have Alaska Housing Finance Corporation now being able to accept money from HUD. But if they're under the scrutiny of the Executive Budget Act, I doubt if there may be some conflicts. Some of the other issues that we had with the bill have been taken care of in the other committee, but there's still some things that haven't been addressed. And I've been out of state for a week, and I didn't hear them being addressed in your amendments, and I don't know if they have already been addressed in the Legislative Affairs Committee. And one of them is on page 38. I still have the old draft 4892, and it's the Chenoweth draft for Legislative Affairs, 7LS1986-G. And on page 38, line 10, they're talking about municipal governments, and a lot of our programs are developed in communities that are still under traditional councils, or unincorporated villages, or community associations, like TOC and a few of those. And I see some of these communities being left out of these programs without this legislation. They're still speaking of municipal governments as if they can't deal with non-municipal governments. Creating regional affairs, whose major function was to deal with the unorganized borough, we haven't really had a problem in dealing and doing programs in our unorganized communities. But the way the language is in this bill, it's the present language, if we can change some of that to include unincorporated communities, traditional governments, or community associations as being viable entities to receive and implement some of these programs, I think it'll help in spreading this program throughout the state. Another problem that the housing authorities have had in the past, and it's not spoken to in the bill, and I'm a little disorganized right now, but in the enabling legislation that formed the associations, the regional housing authorities, it's questionable exactly what we are. Now, they talk about a body politic, and I thought a body politic was the voting populace, and I can't find a definition for body politic. So in that language, if they could change that body politic to a political subdivision of the state, which is the same as ASHA, and it was the intent of that legislation to make us the same as ASHA, it'll clarify a lot of issues with regard to the regional housing authorities and their relationship to the state. We have been participating in the state retirement system, and one of those requirements to participate is that we have to be a political subdivision of the state. So we
Thank you for your comments. I don't know whether those things, any of those have been addressed in our current work draft or not, but we'll certainly take a look at those.
I'll craft those up in language and fax it down to you tomorrow.
Okay. Let's see. Next, let's go to Bob Maxwell in Fairbanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bob Maxwell. I'm the Executive Director of Interior Weather Station. Like everyone else, it's a little frustrating and difficult to follow all these changes with nothing before us. But there were a few comments on what I was able to absorb by Rick's testimony. It seems to me that the new composition of the board members, which originally in Senate State Affairs started out at 11, was reduced down to 9, and now down to 7. They also, besides dropping the low-income and special housing, just needs to drop the energy efficient and weatherization seat, and we're somewhat saddened by the removal of that. We feel the lack of emphasis on energy efficiency, building for new construction, and weatherization of existing structures has contributed heavily to the current state of substandard housing in Alaska. We think that energy efficiency building and weatherization of existing structures is an integral part of dealing with the housing needs in Alaska currently. And we understand the concept behind reducing a board to keep a board small is apparently to keep it more efficient and functioning, which leads us to question why the commission has been expanded from 4 to 15. It seemed like it would fly in the face of that logic. Other than that, until we get a chance to look at some of this legislation, it's a little difficult to comment comprehensively on it. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for your comments. Okay, let's go to Anchorage. We got Greg Erickson. Are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. Chairman, members of the committee, I am Greg Erickson, a real estate broker in the city of Anchorage, speaking as an individual. I oppose the bill in its entirety at this moment. It's basically all the questions that I've had and contacted senators about have been brought back to me saying this is currently in this agency, or the power is currently in that agency, or the power is currently in the other agency. And they go under the premise that separate powers collectively are better. I have a real strong opinion against that. I do not necessarily think it is in the best interest of this state that we have all those powers concentrated as they were initially. If there's probably a concept that can work, the process that has been on this bill and given 2 to 3 weeks to go through this, and when the mayor of Anchorage doesn't even know about this bill, and I have to advise him on the radio, and his comment was when he was told that there won't be any property taxes, he said, that's terrible. And I think that they need to be involved, more people need to be involved. This is going to affect people that own duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, housing around the state. And I think that if it's a good bill that everybody says it will be, that it will be back again, and it can be fine-tuned, not just necessarily word processed and merged together by law technicians to keep all these entities happy because they all have the same power. Thank you very much. I have children to go pick up.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Jerry McCutcheon?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jerry McCutcheon. This CS4CS-HB 152 is a very bad bill. It is a de facto appropriation bill. What it does is transfer ASHA, Community and Regional Affairs, to where the money is so they can finance the thing in perpetuity. I deeply resent the legislature giving up its power of appropriation and its necessary oversight over the various agencies.
Well, thank you. Jerry, we are trying to bring that back under the legislatures and the executive branch's Executive Budget Act and retain oversight. That's my primary concern on the thing. I share your concern about moving away from legislative oversight. So we're trying to fix that, and I appreciate your concern. Is there anybody else out on the teleconference that would like to testify on this time?
Treat bureaucracy. It only means that HFC will have to add more administrative staff to sort out the other two agencies and to line them up. The efficiency is wanted. Merge community and regional affairs into ASHA, lay off CIA and our staff. Keep the HFC as a bank with the purpose of putting itself out of business, with the money either going to the general fund or the budget reserve, or put the whole thing in its entirety inside the permanent fund with the direction to eliminate itself. ASHA should be retained socially in its functions with the legislature, and that the legislature should take care of it and have its oversight as necessary to take care of and appropriate for those social things that the legislature deems necessary to carry out. Such funds as the legislature needs to appropriate, they can at the time it's necessary. But this is a very bad bill. You're going at it in a very bad fashion and with terrible consequences of what you're doing. And at this juncture, you're holding a meeting and they don't even have the things before us. And apparently, you couldn't even fax up here just the amendments. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Is there anybody here in Juneau that wanted to testify at this point? Sure, join us if you like.
My name is Sandra Wicks for Community and Regional Affairs. I would like to thank Rick and the other folks who have worked to incorporate the things that we have asked about and pointed out. We feel like it's been a little bit of an uphill struggle to be heard, but four of the six things I brought up last time have been taken care of in this, and the two that I have left are minor. That one doesn't pertain directly to us, but I'm concerned because of the rural definition pertaining to the regional housing authorities. And if Mr. Williams is there, maybe he's a person who can answer it, because Rick didn't know, I didn't know, we haven't been able to get a hold of anybody who could tell us. And if Mr. Williams is there, it pertains to Section 76, which in the old version of the bill was on page 38. And it talks about an amendment to 1855-997. And it amends A, but it does not refer to B. And in B is the section that talks of the statute, is the section that says what the rural definition for purposes of the regional housing authorities is. And there it's defined as having a maximum of 4,500 and not connected to Anchorage by the road and rail network and all of that. And I'm still concerned if they're, now that we're changing it in the part that is under our HAD program, whether to keep consistency, whether that should be changed, or what would be the impact if it's not changed, whether that's going to impede programs in the road and rail interior area or in Nome and Bethel, which are over that 4,500 cap. So I think we should still look into that issue and not inadvertently exclude those areas from regional housing authority programs. And the other question that I had was on page 45 of the old version, section 94, and that pertains to 1856-300D, which has an exclusion from construction standards for non-conforming housing. But there's no definition of non-conforming, so I don't know whether that includes rural housing that is also non-conforming. And that's just one that I think we still need to work out. And then, of course, our remaining big issue is to make sure that there's money in our revolving loan fund when it's at HFC, so that on July 1st, people continue to be able to make housing loans in rural Alaska, because we don't see anywhere where that's happening. HB 405, the budget, specifically lapses our fund balance, and we're concerned that if there is that lapse and no explicit provision for money at HFC for that revolving loan fund for rural housing, that there won't be a program. You'll have people, because our people in our desks and things transfer over, but there will be no program, because there are no dollars. So we're hoping that we can find a way to transfer our loan balance to HFC to make sure that there's a continuation of the program, and then secondarily that the interest and principal from our portfolio continue to feed into that revolving loan fund and it not just get lost over there at HFC.
Thank you, Sandra. Had you wanted a comment from Mr. Williams on the definition question? Mr. Williams, did you hear that, this Senator Sturzalewski?
Yes, ma'am. The one concern she had with regard to rural housing, I thought was being taken care of when you rolled House Bill 431 into this bill, because that was Ivan's concern, to include Bethel and some of those other communities whose numbers were getting higher than the program allowed.
Sandra, could you respond to that, please?
Over on the fair side, that did include those highway communities that have been excluded in the past. I think both of those issues have been addressed.
Yes, Sandra, would you respond?
Yes, thank you, ma'am. But that provision did not continue through when it was amended in House Finance and then was approved on the floor of the House. That's why I thought it was important that we bring it up in this context, so that that would be taken care of. I don't know how significant it is for the regional housing authorities to have that definition updated, but this is certainly an opportunity to do that.
All right, if we have it here, which I understood we did, are you saying it needs to also be in another piece of legislation, House Bill 405?
431 is the one that it was in that was taken out of. And so when the Senate looks at 431, they should update it, but we can take care of it for purposes of this bill here by simply amending that section, lost my notes here, section 76.
All right. Rick, do you see a problem with that?
No, I don't.
All right. We can take care of it here in this legislation. Now, did you expect him to comment on your other point?
No, the other point didn't pertain to the regional housing authorities. That was the more general one.
All right, fine.
Of the construction standards applying to our rural loans.
But Rick got that, because that's important that we have see that funding secured. Was there anything else? Fine, thank you very much. Senator Frank had to step out for just a moment. Has either of you that had earlier said you'd like to come back, any additional comments? Mr. Williams, you were one.
Until I get the final bill, it's kind of hard to make comments, but Sandra did make a comment that we were quite concerned about, and that is the continuation of the purposes of the HAD program. There was an offhand comment at one of the earlier hearings by Alaska Housing Finance Corporation when they were discussing the funding left in the HAD program. Right now, there was about $10 million of funding availability for HAD loans, and we have heard from here and there and everywhere that loan program has been put on freeze, and that's the reason for that money being there. There's an informal administrative freeze. I thought those went out with the Nixon days, but it seems like somebody's trying to freeze that money, and for what purpose, I don't know. Maybe it's part of the portfolio that Alaska Housing Finance intends to give you back to buy the portfolio itself. There was also a discussion about the $28 million a year revenue stream that was also promised back to the legislature, to general fund. It seemed like they were willing to give up anything and everything to buy that portfolio and get those programs under Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. There was also an offhand comment that they intended to sell the portfolio. Everything that's been stated in hearings in an offhand, kind of joking manner seemed to indicate that they had no intention of continuing that program nor the purposes of that program once they were transferred. So anything that you can do to lock in those purposes with that portfolio would make rural Alaska feel a lot more comfortable with the transfer, which we oppose anyway.
Fine, thank you. Rick, I wonder if, Rick Soley, if you could comment, how can we, as soon as possible, get a copy of the CS out? I'm not sure. We may have to take action. This goes next to finance. I think we may have to take action, but I think it's important as soon as possible to get a copy out to the sites so that they will be able to, you know, go over to see whether or not we have specifically addressed some of these. I know it's very difficult for people out there to know just what's included. Could you kind of outline what we might be up against here?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Rick Soley for the record again. Well, we're up against the end of the session and drafters at Legal Services that are under a lot of constraints. Before us, we have a work draft. It's not an adopted committee substitute and has some of the changes that we've talked about. The committee doesn't even have some of the other changes specifically related to the Executive Budget Act. So I spoke with Legal Services before the meeting started and asked when we could get the amendments, and I was told soon, which I think means before midnight. As a practical matter, we could probably have a committee substitute that incorporates all of these changes, and we could fax it to the LIOs. It's an 80-page bill, but I think that we certainly could do that, and it would be there for tomorrow morning. So we would make every effort to have the most revised committee substitute at the LIO teleconference sites before we would meet tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. With that, I wonder if there is anyone on the teleconference that would have comments to make. Any of those that, additional comments to what we have? And the LIOs will be noticed about a committee meeting. It might be well for you to check into your local areas, and I'll ask Senator Frank's staff to notify the LIOs as to when we will be meeting. It's very difficult to give much advance notice due to drafting problems and also the inability of just getting people together for a quorum at this time of year. And I know Senator Frank has gone out of his way to really take a look at this bill in an attempt to respond to some of the concerns. So I certainly appreciate his efforts in that regard. Ms. Soley, do you know if there's anything else at this time to come before the committee? You want to check with Steve first?
Yeah, unless if Mr. Woolforth is not available to on the teleconference network,
we've got a little bit more.
I don't know that there's anything else.
I think we.
He's coming to the table now, Mr. Chairman.
I didn't know he was there. It's all yours.
I'm here, and I have the same frustration as everyone, not seeing the text. So we, I'm not prepared to respond until we get the in front of us. I'm sorry.
Okay, I thought you did have the.
He had an amendment, but maybe he lost it. He said his briefcase was stolen.
Oh. Okay, well.
I just will point out that I'd ask Rick that he's, as soon as he gets a copy, it would be the intention to send it out and that we would notice the LIOs. When it's finally up, that's all I could, all
yeah.
You can say.
Okay. We will try to get the language to you, particularly Eric. Have it. We can fax Eric the language that we have, right?
We can fax a specific portion regarding the Executive Budget Act easily, since that's a short part of the bill. Although we don't have it back from our drafters at this point, however, the bill itself is 80 pages, so that is more difficult to fax. And what I think we plan to do is to fax that in the morning to the teleconference sites, at least Anchorage and Fairbanks, so that people that were there would have a copy of the bill.
Okay, is there anybody else that would like to testify? Or okay, if there isn't any other testimony, we'll try to meet at 10, 9?
Well, Mr. Chairman, this is Todd Honor at Fairbanks. I'd just like to add that to expedite the matters, because 80 pages is a long way to go, you just might simply send us the changes. We've got two drafts as it is in our possession. We've got some amendments that were proposed today, and just the changes is all we really need to see.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We'll try to put a memo together that highlights all the changes and get it faxed up to the LIOs just as quickly as we can do that.
Yeah, that would be fine because we already got the other stuff.
Okay, thank you. We'll try to meet tomorrow at 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock's fine with me. I have a problem at 9.
We're going on at 11, so we'll try to. Is that enough time to move the bill, to read it across if we have it at 10?
Yeah, if not, you've got the, you've got a session a little later on.
Okay,
you can
we'll
do it.
We'll
so
try
you
for 10
it.
Tomorrow. Meeting's adjourned.
I love this time of year. I mean.